ההבטוח האלוקיס בדובר הגאולה העשידה כי מייצאיסך מארץ מצרים הראינו נפלויס ונובי מיכה tells us that the same way when we went out of מצרים כי מייצאיסך מארץ מצרים I showed you wonders over there so too when we got of this galus will be in the same way The movie Besvonim HaKadoshim Shelo Rakan Nisim VaNifloi Shel Yetzias Mitzrayim Yochzor Al Atzmo Not just the Nisim and Niflois that we had in Mitzrayim will come but the entire experience Shegam HaNishoynes VaHamatzovim Shekol Yisrael Yeh Nisunim Behem VaEis HaGula The Matzovim, the Nishoynes, the difficulties, the problems that Kol Yisrael had just before the Geula Yedreim Lim HaMatzovim Shebnei Yisrael Behem VaMitzayim Yetz Yitzrayim Means we can learn a lot about this particular Golus and Geula, the end of the Golus anyway, from what happened in Mitzrayim. We may say some Eretz Mitzrayim, may su arbo chamishes min ha'am b'makas choshev. We know that 4/5, 80% of Klal Yisrael died in makas choshev. Medube bekame millionei Yehudim shemoisev. We're not talking, we're talking about a few million people. Why did they die? Lo nitein loyim kepshute shirak begin rashuosam bilvad hamesu. You can't say because they were rishoyim. Why not? Because amongst those, first of all, shagam azoichim that says hayoiv davar azora. The 20% that did make it out were all oivad davar azora. That's what the malach said at the yam. Why should I let the Yidden go through the Yam? We also know that there were a stream that went out. Dosan Bar even went out. The Erev Rav went out.
So they didn't want to go out.
You getting answers already?
Yeah, the Orphans didn't want to go out.
You couldn't have ever learnt in Marshia. Never been in my life. Let's see. Why didn't they want to go out?
Were too happy where they were?
Yeah, go to Auschwitz and ask the guys, you guys want to go out? No, we'll stay in Auschwitz. Thank you very much. Let's learn the sugya in depth. Let's understand things properly. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to understand something a bit deeper here.
Sure.
As imke maya sibushe begin a meisu kol kacha be yudim. And it's kind of scary because the paragraph we read above before you guys got here was that it's going to be exactly the same in this generation, in this pre-messianic period. Let's see. Simcha Wasserman said that when he went to take leave of the Chofetz Chaim, he was leaving Radim to go wherever he was going. So he went to the Chofetz Chaim to say goodbye. Maybe only when he was on his way to America, although it couldn't be. Chofetz Chaim was nifter really when Simcha came to America. He said whatever, he was taking leave of the Chofetz Chaim, so he went to the Chofetz Chaim to say goodbye. He said as he was walking out, the Chofetz Chaim called him back. And he said, you must know when Mashiach comes, he's not going to leave behind one yid. So I use that as a comfort, as a motzet. But it's not so posh, then we'll see. We'll see. It's not so posh. You see what that means. Okay. You have to pay attention to this question. Hashem's going to reveal himself with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, whatever. After 8 makos, because makos achoshech was number 9, that means they'd seen 8 makos. The Mitzrim already said, okay, fine. Etz be'elokim zeh. The Goyim already understood this is from Hashem. And kind of 80% of Klal Yisrael don't get it. Im kein alayne lahakin es atzmen shelo lach zol ois etzolz chas v'chalila kadei shebebo agu la shlemen yireim lo. It's important to know what was going on there, what mistakes they were making, so that we don't make the same mistake. If it's going to be the same marechet, you need to see what's going on here. I once gave the shir in the grove. far enough. I think I ruined everybody's suit. I don't know if you were there.
I'm gonna give it the money.
It's spectacular on everything.
Huh?
We wish
it
should come more.
It's
spectacular.
Yeah, okay. The Droshes Shabbos HaGodol Mibnei Shel HaChasam Sefer, Reb Shimon Sefer, the son of the Chasam Sefer, Reb Shimon Sefer, in his droshes on Shabbos HaGodol, Mevin Dvarev HaKadoshim Shel Ovev HaGodol Maran HaChasam Sefer, Schuse Yogan Aleinu Shemava, Kim Yisosem Shel Ois Yudim B'Mitzrayim Lo Yis Oynesh. He brought from the Chasam Sefer that the death of that 80% of Klal Yisrael wasn't an oynish. Ela mitoich rachmonusoi shel Hashem yisbarach aleihem. It came from rachmonus. Shrehu keira doris miroish v'boichin Klal Yisrael aleif. Hashem knows what's going on. He understands people very well. V'yodeh v'hiki ki oimed la'amed is Klal Yisrael b'shnei nishenis kashimot. Hashem knew that he was about to give Klal Yisrael two very, very difficult nishenis. And he knew that the 80% of these Yidden wouldn't stand the test. Hashem didn't want them to die in their riches, having not withstood the test. Rachmanis. Do that. Why he does that? But that's what Hashem did, it says the Chasam Sofer. There's two nisoyim about to happen. 80% of clergy are not going to withstand the nisoyim. Then I'm going to have to punish them. It's going to be a whole story. I'll kill them in Makas Choshesh before. A bit like Ben Soira Moira. You know those kids eventually are going to come murder people, so kill him now.
What about
Bechira? Oh, I see, a lot of questions.
What are the two nisyonot?
Good question. Hanisyonis Begulis Mitzrayim. You get the same
thing. It's all
here. It's all here. Moiridik. Okay, you got a philosophical kasha. What about Bechira? What about the Seder? Okay.
Whatever. Then I don't have to worry today. We're going to pair it with having Mitzrayim. So Shabbo out of his
rock. So you'll die. So you'll die Lachman and Mitzrayim before going out of the Gula. And you won't Zochel in the Gula.
Never not Zochel. If I am, I am. No, not.
So what about your Olam Haba?
Yeah,
he said, better to die Zakai. That's going to help her.
Right. Either way, I'm good. Either Hashem took care of me because he doesn't want me to fail, or Hashem loves me now. Out of Rachmanis. Either way, my love is good.
No.
Either way, we're good. Right?
The 80% that didn't make it out weren't Zoichel Amoid Ba'asina. All the ramifications of that. No, not so posh. Not so posh. What about Chis HaMaisim? What about. Not so posh. Let's have a look and see. Let's first see. Maybe the Nishonis aren't so hard. Go for it. Achasim Sefer, if you want to go have a look at this, it's in Parshas Beshalach. Achasim Sefer is Purush Al HaTorah, so go have a look at it there. Mitai Eshnei HaNisein is Kedahala. What are the two tests? HaNisein HaRishon Haya B'Zman Makas Choshech. The first test was during Makas Choshech itself. B'Shal Sheh HaMitzvim Hayu Shrei B'Choshech Omok Shemono Me'em Esrois Ve'es Apilois. They were mamash takur, they couldn't move. They couldn't see, they couldn't move. They were stuck where they were, the Mitzrim. As if Yisrael oi b'moish v'yisoyim. Klal Yisrael had all, Klal Yisrael had a wonderful time. Lo rak b'bateich ha'mayi el yudimor, ele ki yudua midriv rebe reseinu, ha'im nichnusu lebatei Mitzrim. Not only in their own places did they have lights, but Chevrat Chashmal in Mitzrayim was able to do miracles. It was pitch black for the Mitzrim, and it was completely light for the Jews, even in the place of the Mitzrim. Hafsakat Chashmal, only for the mitzvah. So, it's pretty tricky engineering, but that's what I'm able to do. Yeah, but what happens on both, on the same side of the street for one guard's dark and one guard's not, in the same room?
And that
that requires a little bit more. That requires a little bit more.
It happened in our building.
There you go.
It's one of the phases. Possibly.
You could have one room.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the lights in the dining room were on.
Yeah. It's in two different rooms. I understand. That's easy. Well, I can do that. I can do that. That's right. That's when phase is gone. One plug went down. Another one's still on. How's this going to save your lives when the shit comes? Fine, so move on. No, that's easy. What happened here was a little bit more complicated. All right. So, Klal Yisrael going to the homes of the Mitzrim. It's pitch black for them. They can't move. And they see there all the wealth. And whose money is it? And whose wealth is it? It's mine. They stole it from me. They haven't paid me my wages. It's Zemagili. And we're at the ninth Makkah. That means the Mitzrim are done. They're finished. It's game over for them. I have no fear of them anymore. So here comes the Nisoyin. What's the Nisoyin? Mashicha tivit shelem ha'isalitol malo chafnim mikol ha'itzya sololi. The natural tendency is help yourself. You go to the labor court, will tell you you're entitled to back pay for 210 years of avodas pera. Why was Mitzrayim the richest country in the world? Because of Yosef. If it wasn't for my Zayda, you know where you guys would have been today? It would look like it looks like today. Had it not been for the wise financial rulership of Yosef, they would have been a peasant nation. So what's the Nisoyin? He wants to the guy standing there can't do anything. I can take a little bit of this gold and silver and leave you with at least a bit of wealth, which is magiali. So what's the problem? Four words. Hashem said, don't touch anything in there. Go in, look around, see what's there. So afterwards, when you come to borrow them, they say, no, we don't have. You can tell them, excuse me, what about there? What about there? What is it? But now, don't take nothing. You have to mamash work in this and not take anything. Afterwards, you'll be able to go and ask the goyim. The pasuk says the woman will go borrow from her neighbor. Ulam litul bli reshut pa'is makas achoshech losho. To take without permission in makas achoshech, also you can't. Pa'is any sayin kashem mod. Yeah, except for the levim who in Goshen. That's why they survived.
Sure, that's the question.
Were they hidden and the goyim living together in Mitzrayim?
Sure. Originally they were living in Goshen.
They were working for them.
They went out to.
Yeah, they were working. They were living together.
Assimilated.
Hey, zeh nisayon kashe mod. Kedei lahamchish nisayon zeh asapa ma'at al hachadashim harishonim la'ach hashoah noira. To just make it a little bit more real, this nisayon, because this nisayon doesn't look like it's got anybody here like startled. What's the problem? Hashem said, don't take it. You're in the ninth makkas. You understand that Hashem runs the world. Hashem comes to you and says, listen, go in there, check all the wealth and whatever. Don't take it. What's the... That's a nisayin.
And you're going to get it anyway.
And you're going to get it afterwards anyway. Like, what's the nisayin?
Yeah.
Oh, still a nisayin.
Yeah. Yeah. He said. And even if not, well, what are you worried about? If in the first makkah, understand. But you're in the ninth makkah? Very tough is not the same as I'm going to die because I'm not going to. These are cosmic, eternal nisayin. we're about to face the same nisoyin. That's what he's telling you. He's setting up for this. Where's this nisoyin for us happening? Oh, let's just try and understand what the nisoyin is. It's a bit of a nisoyin, Besadim. כדאי להמחיש ניסיון זה, אספר מעט מהחדשים הראשונים לאחר השואה הנוראה. זוכרני שחזרנו, כמו ניחוז יהודים נוסעים, after the Holocaust, talking about himself, because he was there, we came back, they went back to אוידה שניצלם מאישה תופוס, they survived the Holocaust, they went back, they went back to their places. שבורים בגוף בנפש, חזרנו לאירוס, completely broken and shattered, we went back to there, where do you go afterwards? Go back to your home. The batim ahuvim shelanu. Go back to your beloved home. You go back to your apartment. You go back. Yeah. Ulam lo matzanu muma. Nothing. Hakol nechrav. Ein bayit vein mishpocha. No homes. No houses. The place has been destroyed. Ein bayit midrash. Ein bayit midrash vein chaverim. Mu'um lo noisama aveinu amafoy. Nothing was left of our lives. The beautiful lives we had were shattered, broken. There was nothing there. Haynu b'matzav kasheh. הכעס עלה על גדויסוב, אנגרי, כעסנו על הגויים הצ'קוסלובקים שהורשו זויס. שלא היו נמנים לנו באי סורב ורק נקמה בום השקיטה אס רוחוני. Angry with the goyim that let this happen, that joined the Nazis, that were your neighbors before, that mamash turned against you. In the places, by the way, they went back that weren't destroyed, who was living in the homes were goyim. They wouldn't let them go near their homes. Get out of here, we'll call the police. היהודים שהתגונבו לחצריסיהם של הגויים, שוידדים וגויים ומהם. וכמובן גם מהגרמנים. היה בנטילס הכסף ממישהו משחרר מגיע, היה זה טיימה של נקומה על כל הצוריס ועוד אני אקרים. There were Yidden who went and stole. From the goyim, they went, and they took from the goyim, they went, whatever, from the Germans that were left there, they went and they stole from them. Abba zichroni brocha lo yistasek binyonim ha'elu. As nekoma, as revenge, they went and would take whatever they could find, they'd go and they'd break into their houses, they'd go, they'd steal, whatever. My father wouldn't get involved in this.
Is that wrong?
Hu nimna melakachet kesef lo sheloi, velo daig li tashe al cheshbon ha'goyim. First of all, because Gnevis Akum is awesome. You could argue it. I'm into the halachic ramifications here. His father said, I'm not taking money that's not mine. Lord, I'm not going to get befasim from stealing from the goyim. It was one of the few that withstood the nisoy. Let me ask you a question. You were here yesterday. Do you have a chiyuv to take this money from the goyim? No, so don't do it. I'm giving you a powerful, powerful tool here. You're doing it as nakama? You're doing it as nakama? What's the nakama here? Pekuch nefesh, the kind of, I'm going to talk about pekuch nefesh here. Al nekoma you're doing this? You're doing this as nekoma? What? A couple of ashkofic problems if you're going to do it out of nekoma. That's number one. Number two, you're going to do this for ishtadlus. I'm not talking about where it's pekuch nefesh. Pekuch nefesh. This is ishtadlus. A Kodesh Baruch Hu can't mefasim mefanis you some other way. In the world of Ishtadlus, if you don't have a chiv to do something, don't do it. It's only if it's osa. Because if it's osa, you can't be mechayev to do it. Gneivas goy is osa. But the Nakuda, yeah, and we can go learn the sugya. It must be a fascinating sugya in halacha and whatever to try and understand the sugya. The Nakudiyah is not there. The Nakudiyah is to try and just understand what they were going through in Mitzrayim. Because we can understand the Yidden better that came back to Hungary and Poland and whatever after what they'd been through and see the goyim living in the houses and whatever and you tell me don't go in there and take my grandmother's My great grandmother's menorah, silver menorah, Chanukiah, that's been in the generation, in the family for 1,000 years, and it's sitting there on the guy's mantelpiece in the pawn shop. Don't go take it. Yeah? And your family heirlooms. No, that wouldn't be Gneida. That wouldn't be, no. I'm not talking about what happened in the Holocaust. I'm using this as a marshal to understand what was going on in Mitzrayim. Hashem told you, don't take it. In the Holocaust, Hashem didn't say, don't take it. You're right. There'd be nothing wrong with going and taking it. But that's not the point. The point is you're standing outside your house with your silver Chanukiah in the window there that's been in your family for 1,000 years. Okay? And the guy's sitting there, okay? And Hashem says, and you can sneak in very easily and go take it. They didn't have big dogs and burglar alarms and whatever. You can go in there very easily and take it if you want. The guy's at work. There's no one home. And Hashem says, don't take it. That's what we're trying to get out of the Nisoyin of the Holocaust. We're not trying to learn out the halachas, where you're at, where you're at. That's good. Now, Sugya, let's learn it one day. We're trying to make real, because in Mitzrayim it's hard for us to get it real. What was the big Nisoyin in Mitzrayim? You've just walked out of Auschwitz, you're broken, shattered, you've lost your family, these animals, whatever, and there's your personal property sitting there, and the guy won't give it back to you. And you're going to court's not really going to help you out. And the guy goes off to work and there's no one there and you can go in. And it's there sitting there and you can take it. Under normal circumstances, you'd be welcome to take it. You'd be right to take it. And Hashem says, no, don't take it. Starting to make this nisyon a little bit more real. Switch this off quickly. 100% of Tehillim. His son asked us to warn people. He was here the other day, tried to borrow from one of our guys. You know, it's a little bit shit. Okay. So, that was the Nisoyin, yeah? Okay, you have to make it real for yourself. I had a hard time with this one, trying to make it real. They saw the beautiful, valuable heirlooms that were taken from their parents' homes. And it's mine. All this wealth is mine. They mamash had a desire to 210 years of torture. It's such a natural desire to want to get the stuff back. Hashem's telling you how hard a nisoyin this is. Hashem knew you're not going to withstand the nisoyin. So even though I stand here and I say, that's not called kach kasher. The next nisoyin we'll see is not so kosher. But this is not such a big problem. Hashem's testifying to you this is a big problem to care for. How does this translate into our world? We have to see. We'll see. Yeah. We have to see what's the modern day version. You know? They've got these new books, Eilu v'Ki'ilu, you know. They take Mitzrayim like then it was, and then they make it into modern day. You've seen this? They're very, very clever. Very, very clever. They write these comic books for kids, showing what happened then, but making it like modern day things, you know, like Paro chasing off the coast with tanks and missiles and whatever. Paro's this, like, African dictator, whatever, you know. Yeah, the little guy, whatever, driving in his little Volkswagen. Yeah, cute. So the same thing, we have to do it for ourselves. What's the Ilu v'ki Ilu? Rabbi Seinu Masbirim Shamida b'Nisoyin Zeh. Sorry, first of all, let's ask the following question. Madua Amin HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael b'Nisoyin Kasha Zeh. Why did Hashem do this? Yes, you put a nice piece, bigger steak in front of a dog and tell him, don't eat it. Why do it? Just don't give them the Nisoyin. What's the Matua Elis HaNisoyin Zeh? Rabbi Seinu Masbirim Shamida b'Nisoyin Zeh Ha'isa b'chine. This nisoyin was part of the hachana you needed in order to go to Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim ha'isa gula ruchnis, v'lo fizis bilvad. We know that Yetzias Mitzrayim had a physical dimension, but the ikka was a spiritual gula. Letzeis mi Mitzrayim pirusha shel dova yalaza v'zakoicha v'oitzim yodi. Leaving Mitzrayim meant leaving the Mitzrikait. The koicha v'oitzim yodi. Mitzrayim was the sheresh and the koyach of koicha v'oitzim yodi. Paro was God. He created the world. He created himself. That's pretty nifty how you do that, huh? How do you create yourself? Before you create yourself, or you create yourself? If you're going to create yourself, do you do it before you create yourself or after you create yourself? It's a bit of a philosophical problem to be. But even Koichav Yaitzim Yadi. Koichav Yaitzim Yadi, that was Mitzrayim. They didn't need rain, they didn't need anything. The Nile water, they didn't need nobody. They were completely self-sufficient, so to speak. Shamitzim aminu bo v'yishlich esayav alo b'ni shalai lo. K'fishneim alech decha achar Rebbe Midbar. Klal Yisrael, when they were going to go to Mitzrayim, we're going to have to give up all that koich v'yitzim yadi and throw everything onto Hashem. L'yayis b'yimunu b'ptimim z'liftuach shakosh bochu yitin kesev v'zav m'mele ma'alil doi v'oed. L'kachas l'atzmi? How are you going to go to Mitzrayim, lech decha Rebbe Midbar b'eretz lo zeruah? How are you going to do that? No water, no food, no transport. You know what it's like to go into the desert? You walk into the Gobi Desert with nothing. How long are you going to last? How are you going to do that if you don't have complete betochen in Hashem? Especially when you've been up to your eyeballs in a culture of koich v'yetzim yodi and tevet shalom blin shochar chasviv. We get dragged off to the sviva. Live in Wall Street long enough, you know what will happen to your betochen. You become koich v'yetzim yodi. That's the environment we live in. Gulus Mitzrayim ha'yipadus mikiblei hazman u'michukei ha'teva. You've been taken out of space and time. You have been taken out of the chukei ha'teva. Ki yitzias mi'aklala shel b'zeh sapecha toicha lechet. Going out of Mitzrayim, into the midbar, eating man, mayim mi'abeh, everything. You don't have to think about anything. What's going to be tomorrow? What's going to be today? No worries. You live with a 1% imuna that Hashem's going to give me everything, and you can't make ishtadis because there's no ishtadis to be made. What are you going to do? What are you going to do in the midbar? V'chein kach hayu yoytzim mitzrayim holchach hakadosh baruch hu b'midbar. Lelo shelos be'eretz lo zeruah. No questions. Hashem, hem holchu lemakom shemama she'ein sikui latzmiach bo imuma. They went to a place you can't grow anything. In somchal hakadosh baruch hu yitim le'maychel u'mashke. V'chein hem zochu yoyim ilom leman min hashamayim shebo hem taimu es kol ha'tamim shebo ilom. They got the man that had all the taste in the world. Hem zochu gam lebe'emayim. She's galgali imayim b'kol moisoyseyim. Masoyseyim. You go with Hashem with betochen and imun, you don't lose anything. That's the Messiah. You're totally dependent on yourself. You're completely reliant on everything we have. And Hashem says, oh no, but come with me to a place where there's none of that. There's a hafsakat mayim for 2 days. How would we survive? Chashmal goes out. You can't function. You can't function. You're losing all that. No more chashmal, no more mayim, no more nothing, no more food, no more yesh, no more mazmin and the guy delivers the food to your door. None of that. You take a few matzahs and you take your wife and kids and you step off the edge of a cliff. And Hashem says, don't worry, I'll catch you. You want to make this nisoyin a little bit more real? Imagine that a Kosh Bolcho comes to you and says to you, and I've done this here many, many times, tomorrow morning, get up at sunrise, go down to Masada there, okay, climb up to the top of Masada, and as the sun starts coming up, okay, jump. Don't worry, I'll catch you. Now, you know it's Hashem. Forget about how you know it's Hashem.
No, yeah. Hashem's not a poison.
You know that it's Hashem. No, no, I'm saying you have to have, that's got to be part of the story, because if you have doubts, it's Hashem, so we're talking about where you know 100% this is Hashem. Fire finger, clarity, it's Hashem. So what do? You traipse down to Masada tomorrow. And you climb up, whatever, and you go, then you go to the spot where Hashem says, and there's no one there, and it's all quiet. And as the sun comes up, you look down at 3,000 feet. You jump? Not so fast. Just a second. Hello?
right. You verify.
Now you start having doubts. You start checking. You're not sure.
You verify. You verify.
How many guys jump? 80% don't. That's the water.
We need that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu talked to us before in order to answer what we will do. Here we are answering. We don't know. So.
But you didn't know either when you went into the midbar with Hashem. You also didn't know what's going to be. It's like jumping off the edge of a cliff.
Do we have a Moshe Rabbeinu? Can we get a Moshe Rabbeinu to verify? Watch him jump first.
80%
We don't see what Hashem. One second. We don't
like
see.
This.
One second. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You analyze your physical situation. Forget about the spiritual aspect of this. You analyzed your physical situation recently. Why are we still alive? Has it bothered you? Why, when I wake up in the morning, why haven't they blown us out of the sky of Monolith's life? Where are the 100 million Arabs, okay, that are armed to their teeth with every possible weapon in the world, okay, that could have flattened us day in and day out? Where are they? And they hate us. They want to kill us. It's not because of Rahmanas. They seriously hate us, want to kill us. And not only that, can worry about the ramifications because they don't mind dying. Right. Why am I still here? That's not a bigger miracle than Marcus Choshech.
Absolutely.
You don't see it when they do send their missiles in and whatever, okay? The Scud missiles, that war. You do not analyze the six-day war. Doesn't make your hair stand on edge? No, because we had a bigger army. Talk me about. Stop and look. Miracles. Open sky. And when they write the Megillah of this generation, that's going to be. There was Makkas Sheshes Yomim. There was Makkas Yom Kippur Milchama. You didn't see it? The same thing there. You see miracles. You understand?
What is it?
There were people who didn't see Choshech. There were people who didn't realize.
They realized. But what was the message of Choshech? They didn't get it the same way as we don't get the message of what was the message of the Gaza War. What, no. That's just stum? The Scud War was just like, there was a Middle Eastern kind of a war and whatever, and we just kind of got caught in the crossfire. That's what happened.
You had a Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever was marching, he's saying, now this is going to happen.
Excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came and said, Tlal Yisrael, we're going out of Mitzrayim, I've come to free you. Things got much worse.
Yeah, that was the beginning.
See, Moshe Rabbeinu,
but
enough in number. So they had a much bigger Yitzhak then. It was much more obvious. It was a moment of Hester Pony. So the Yetzirah had to be together. Klal Yisrael had stood at Har Sinai. Tazom Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw Hashem b'kveid b'atzmoy. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. They heard Hashem speaking to them b'kveid b'atzmoy. The next day are dancing around a little golden calf saying, this is what took man of Mitzrayim. You understood that? I thought the Yetzirahs were much bigger. You know, it was not a philosophical discussion. We talk about today, we're living with Nisim Nifloim. Open miracles or whatever, and we so takua and so dependent on Mitzrayim.
But what?
Are you ready to give up your Mitzri card? And not so poshut, not so far.
If we ask Zahabs, why is there don't attack? What's a weird reply?
Miracle, it's an open miracle.
But from their point of view, why are they stay like this?
Their point of view, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. We have to know what we're thinking. Rav Avigdor Miller said, let's give a small marshal. You're walking down the street in Flatbush, whatever, and there's a 12-foot Schwarzer standing on the side of the road with a swastika tattooed on his cheek, yeah? And a bone through his nose. And you walk past him, and he doesn't hit you. Why not? There's only one reason. The Hashem doesn't let him. Not because he doesn't want to. Not because he can't. Not because he's worried about if he gets caught. There's only one reason why he doesn't hit you. It's a miracle. Hashem doesn't let him. But derech hateva, he should eat you alive. You think these Arabs sitting up there with their finger on the buttons are idiots? They're not stupid. They know themselves. That's when they shoot them. But why don't they just get up one morning and say, listen guys, it's enough with these hidden already. How long will it take? 12 minutes? 12 minutes? Let's just wipe them out. You know who you're talking about? Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq.
Even in Egypt.
Not so worried about Egypt. They've got their own problems, but let's say Egypt. They're like you, Saudi Arabia, all these places. Stop doing it. Only one thing. They can't do it. Hitler showed us what a person can be if he really wants to. Open miracles. We're living through the same thing. Arela Khani flies. We're living with me flies. I remember after the last Gaza war, which I didn't even notice. I almost missed it. I'm serious. It was like, whatever. It was a blur. Remember Zedek saying to me one day, he said, there were never so many miracles in a war as there was in this war. Missiles were flying to this country on a day-to-day basis. No one got killed.
Can you say the
last war? The last Gaza war. They got names for them. I don't know what they're called. Missiles were hitting Rishon LeZion. We're safer than a lot of other people. I'll tell you why, because we're like under the lid. We hardly get any sirens last year.
You're in Tifraf, though.
I'm in Tifraf.
That's nearer, though.
Well, it's nearer, and that's why sometimes it's better, because they're not aiming at Tifraf. And so you get a misfire now and again. Fine, some misfires. We had two landed in my backyard, 200 meters from my house. Mm-hmm. We had two landed. But those were misfires. Those were overshoots of a Fakim or falling short of Beersheba. But no one's aiming at us. And the sirens today are very sophisticated. In the first war, any missile coming out of Gaza in the general area triggered a siren. We once had 14 sirens. Ask my son-in-law, the first Shabbos he came to us when he was engaged. He came to us for his first Shabbos, you know, the Shabbos game. There were 14 sirens that Friday night. There's like 14 sirens.
I gotta go to this place.
Go mad.
Even connected to
it. No, nothing's going mad. There was one missile landed.
Big siren area.
There's one siren area. So anything comes out in the general direction of Netivot, Ofakim, Beersheba, whatever, it triggers a siren. Today they're much more sophisticated. Yeah. If it's not heading in Mamash your direction, they don't go. So the ones going to Ofakim don't trigger. The ones going to Beersheba don't trigger. What we do have. What we do have is the Kippot Bazel, whatever, one of the launches is across the road from the Moshav. So we have the launches happening and then taking them out over our head. So you sometimes have the shrapnel falling in your backyard. So
that,
no. No, because Kippot, don't negotiate with them. I would be unhappy to disconnect the sirens. What causes more post-traumatic stress syndrome is the sirens, not the bombs. Anyway, but what I'm talking about is the miracles. You know, the Nisim. And they know, it's like you said, they know themselves. They know themselves.
What's the second Nisim?
We haven't done it yet.
You missed it? Have to hang around
to the next one. I have to get
something. It's true. The thing is, whether or not people in Mitzrayim, whether the four-fifths in Mitzrayim actually thought they were Nisim.